hour number two. Welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon and Ken Miller, as we take you up until 1. Here's what's coming up. We will talk with three of our four regional teams. We will do the Bears momentarily with Jeff Hughes. We'll get into the Packers with Dave Sinekin, ZoneCoverage.com, and then the Chiefs as to what they look to do with 32 with their first-round pick, assuming they stay there. Nick Athan will join us from ChiefsBlitz.com. And then Trent and I are going to go on record and try and figure out five teams who we think they're going to make a pick. It's for bragging rights within the 11-1 time slot. Let's get Jeff Hughes in here, TheBearsBlog.com, who I believe is actually at the Bears blog. Are you going to do draft coverage throughout the night? Did I read that right, Jeff Hughes?
Oh, you know, when I decided to hire an editor-in-chief to run the Bears blog, I never thought he would give me assignments. And I have been asked for the first time to be live on air. We'll be on the YouTube channel for Bear Down with us and the Bears blog. You can find us everywhere. And I will be doing live commentary. Now, I cannot guarantee you how long I'm going to last. I find tonight to be just excruciating.
Really?
Try to make it through both of the Bears picks, should they make two tonight.
So you're not a draft guy?
I am not now, nor have I ever been a draft guy. You guys understand this. As a 42-year-old, I remember when the draft was just held on Saturday and Sunday, started about 11 o'clock in the morning, and you didn't even mind if you didn't know who your team picked till Monday in the paper.
Right. Yeah.
And now the spectacle that it has become is so patently absurd. These are coin flip players. And this night is treated like it's the Super Bowl, and I just can't get behind it. And listen, we all love the NFL. We all cover the NFL. The NFL's put a lot of money in a lot of people's pockets. But, man, do they have to monetize and commodify everything? It's just gotten to a point with me where I can't get into it. I can't read the mock drafts. I spend 3 or 4 days on this, and then I'm ready to go, and I'm ready for it to be over and waiting for the schedule release.
And the schedule release is its own thing that, of course, they've made.
That'll be 3 days as well. That'll be 3 days.
Uh-huh.
First we get the first. I mean, it's just the whole thing is so absurd, but I guess that's why we love talking about it.
It's very true. It works out incredibly well, I think, for all of us. Caleb Williams, him as a prospect. I know we touched on it, but it was a long time ago. Jeff, just your thoughts on him as a prospect. What excites you? What concerns you about Caleb Williams?
I'll say this about Caleb Williams, and there's plenty of tape analysis that folks can read, but I tend to look at the game a little bit differently. And what I'm very intrigued by is he seems very comfortable being a celebrity and a star. You don't get a lot of canned answers from him. You don't get a lot of coach speak. I don't feel that every answer has been trained or run through a PR department. And I think if the game backs up that, if he plays well with this personality, we are looking at potentially the biggest star in the league. I've told you guys this probably in the past. I've said this many times. I have a friend who works at the NFL and has told me the NFL believes the greatest untapped resource in the league is a star quarterback in Chicago. Mm. I always believe that. This is the kid. He's not Trubisky. He's not Fields. Right? He's not Rex Grossman. He's not even Cutler. He seems to enjoy the spotlight. He seems to flourish in it. And listen, if he wins here, we're looking at a superstar, and that's a very exciting prospect for quarterback in Chicago.
You know, Cappy backed that up yesterday, and I hadn't heard this say this before, and I guess he's repeated it subsequent to coming on with Trent and us. He thinks that Caleb Williams, when it's all said and done, will be the most popular athlete in Chicago history, not named Michael Jordan. That's how important a Bears quarterback would be.
It's a sports-crazed town, and there's only really, you know, the baseball people are split.
Yep.
There's not that, you know, there's hockey people, but it's not a hockey city. There's basketball people, but other than the Jordan era, pretty dour stuff. This is the team that brings that city together. And you even saw how popular and how enthusiastic fans got about Fields, who was, without argument, a mediocre player. Imagine if that player is great. Imagine if that player is a top 5 or 6 quarterback in the league. I mean, the sky is the limit for that position in that town. And he checks a lot of boxes for someone who I think could handle the moment, handle the pressure, and now it's just about can he perform on game days. And if he does and they win, he's going to be the biggest star in the league.
So it's Caleb at 1, and yet they're still, since that number 9 pick, they're
what a spot to be in,
of their own from a year ago. Are you a proponent? They don't have a ton of draft capital overall. If there is a guy, wide receiver, Joe Walt, whatever it turns out to be, if there's a guy to move up to 6 or 7 or 8, make that kind of move. Are you a proponent of that, or are you happy in that 9 position?
No, I'm not a proponent of it, and I don't think the Bears are considering it either. I think the Bears know that 4 quarterbacks are going off the board before them. They know that leaves 4 other picks to be made, and they're going to have their choice of a very good player if they sit at 9. The scenario the Bears want, and we'll see what happens, is for that third receiver to still be on the board. Or even perhaps, as rumors are circulating now, the 4th quarterback might still be on the board. They want to be in a position where they can move back 4 or 5 spots from 9, still get a player they like. I know they like Byron Murphy a whole lot from Texas. Mm-hmm. Still get a player who can impact them immediately and perhaps get back into the second round, maybe even at a pick next year. That's where Ryan Poles wants to be. But he has said it. He's very comfortable choosing at 9. Do they need an offensive lineman right now? They might. We don't know exactly what Braxton Jones is going to be long term. But I keep thinking this is going to be a defensive pick tonight at that 9 or wherever they end up picking. I'd imagine they'll be off the board by about 15. I think they're going to be looking for the defensive lineman there, and I think that's about the sweet spot for these edge guys and for Byron Murphy.
Just back to Caleb Williams for a second. Maybe you know the answer to this, Jeff, because they have not come out definitively and said we're taking him. Has the NFL asked them to, you know, button your lip on this one? After all, we have a television show to air tonight.
Yes.
Have they got involved?
Yeah, well, when you've got a TV show, you can't tell anybody who shot JR.
Right.
So. Again, there's another reference for the kids out there.
Yes.
Who will be thrilled to hear that one. No, I mean, it's the absurdity of this. Like, Caleb Williams, folks, already has the Bears playbook. He already has the playbook. He has already had conversations and meetings with coaches. There is not one person in the NFL or surrounding the NFL who doesn't know this is going to happen. But not only will it not be revealed till tonight, it will not be revealed until there's about 30 seconds left on that clock, because the NFL knows how to milk its bucks.
Yeah.
That's what it does. It's the best organization maybe in the world at doing that. You will not know until the last second tonight that Caleb Williams is the inevitable quarterback.
Use every one of those 15 minutes, right, that they're allotted.
I mean, it's like we're all trying to go to bed. I mean, ultimately, we all want to go to bed. If you got they should already have that pick in. So when they turn on the cameras tonight, when you're finished booing Goodell, he doesn't even leave the stage.
Yeah, right.
He just goes, I'm with the first pick.
Yep.
And we just move the train along, because this draft gets very interesting once we get to that third pick. Mm-hmm. That's where the draft gets interesting. Do the Giants want to move up and get Drake May? What can Sean Payton put together to try to get up? You know he's going to do everything in his power tonight to get a quarterback. He currently has the worst quarterback room ever assembled. There are so many moving pieces with these quarterbacks. None of that gets dramatic until the third pick. So we got to get to that pick. But tonight, that might be 8:45.
We'll have a lot more reaction certainly tomorrow on this front after the Bears' likely 2 selections here in the first round. You mentioned Ryan Poles. And, Jeff, we've been talking, I believe this is year 13, maybe year 14, of you and I talking on the radio about the Bears. You know, I'm not the most optimistic lad about this organization as a whole, and you've been beaten down throughout the years as well. It feels like this roster is really making moves. It feels like that they are on the precipice of something special here. Just your takeaway of Poles and the way that he has rebuilt this roster and at least seems to me be doing it the right way.
The most important thing Ryan Poles did in this process was acknowledge how bad the roster was when he took over and tear the thing down to the ground. And I said, it's a difficult thing to do in Chicago. It is a feisty fan base. They were not going to sign up for losing. But they did. He has rebuilt the roster brilliantly. And I'll go back to 2 trades, because I think they're important to note. He went out and got Chase Claypool, because he thought his quarterback needed another weapon. It flopped. But what did he do? He didn't buckle under the pressure of making a bad move. Last year, middle of the season, he went and did the same thing for Montez Sweat.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't afraid to take the chance, and Sweat has worked out beyond most people's wildest dreams. This is a guy who is confident, he has a plan, and everything about that, he has stayed to that plan since day one. Since he traded Khalil Mack to when he traded Justin Fields, everything he has done has been according to a structure and a plan. And we can't say that a lot about general managers for this organization. Now, we can blow smoke all we want. Tonight, at about 8:15 Eastern, Caleb Williams is going to put on a Chicago Bears hat. And that moment, and what happens with that moment, is going to determine this general manager's tenure. That's it. If this kid is good, if this kid is a star quarterback, Ryan Poles is going to be here a long time. If this kid busts, the hourglass flips on Ryan Poles very quickly. It'll always come down to the quarterback. It always comes down to the quarterback. And tonight is the biggest decision he's making as GM.
Wild. Good stuff. The Bears blog YouTube channel, that's where we can find you tonight.
Check the Twitter. I have no control over this. I don't even know how the tech works. So just check the Twitter feeds. We'll be advertising it, and I'll be cracking my first beer at about 7:30 Eastern, so I'll be raring to go by 8 o'clock.
Well done, Jeff Hughes. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. Enjoy tonight.
Take care, guys.
Yep, good to hear from you. As we go from the Bears to the Packers, sounds like the divisional foe is about to get a whole lot better tonight, Dave Sinekin, with Caleb Williams coming off the board with pick number one. Is that how you see it? I mean, obviously he's going to be the quarterback, but do you think he is what they believe he's going to be, or do you think there's a bust possibility there?
Oh, I absolutely think there's a bust possibility. I mean, no fault of his own. For one thing, he's going to the Chicago Bears, which struggles to develop quarterbacks. But, you know, he's undoubtedly gifted athletically, but he's also kind of an odd character.
Yeah.
And there's no guarantees. I'm a Jaden Daniels guy. He's my guy. And as I said on KFAN this morning, I honestly believe Michael Penix is going to be a top three quarterback out of this
class. I couldn't agree with you more.
Do you?
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm not that sold. I the Bears should be. This is a huge night for that organization, but I don't think a changing of the guard in the division because they have Caleb Williams is something I would put a whole lot of money on down in Vegas.
Cooper DeShean, it's been mocked, I don't know, 8,000 times here since the end of the season when we knew exactly where we were going to be seeing the Packers select. There's potential movement, other things that can happen, I get it. But if you had to make a betting choice, would he be the betting favorite of an individual player?
I suppose so. The fact that he's being mocked so universally tells me that there's very little chance that he'll be a Packer. And I do think there's a really good chance he's off the board before 25. And you know, and I truly believe that there is a less than 50% chance Green Bay picks at 25 tonight. Mm. I think they could easily move up if, you know, you look in the mid-teens, if one of those top two cornerbacks, Arnold or Mitchell, is dropping and Seattle sitting there without a number two and Green Bay could give them a number two, or if one of the top three tackles they really like is sitting there. I think they could look at Seattle at 16 or Miami at 21, both those teams lacking second-round picks, and maybe at 21, they feel like they have a better chance of getting DeJean. There's also a shot they could move down or even out of the first round. You know, with two twos, two threes, and Gutekunst's history of trading on draft night, I expect Green Bay to move up and down the board this weekend. But, yeah, I mean, I think most Packer fans would tell you if Cooper DeJean is their pick tonight, we're going to sleep really well. And if it's not him, it's likely to either be another defensive back or an offensive lineman. If it's anything other than that, I think most Packer fans would be really surprised.
Yeah, you have Mims, the offensive tackle from Georgia, on zone coverage, your mock draft, your seven rounds. And you got a bunch of picks. I didn't realize. You have, what, 11 Packers?
Yeah, tied with the Rams for the most with 11 right now.
But you do have, keeping on a local front, TJ Tampa from Iowa State. You mocked him to the Packers with their second-round pick, which is number 41, which is probably somewhere in the vicinity that he's going to go. I think it'll be a surprise if he's called tonight, but I think he's off the board very early tomorrow. Cornerbacks for Green Bay, there's certainly a need there, Dave.
There is. I mean, you might say it's not immediate. Obviously, J.R. Alexander on one side and Eric Stokes is a guy that's a former number one pick that's oft injured. They can't really count on him. A seventh round pick a year ago, Carnell Valentine, really kind of stepped in and was very good for a seventh round rookie. And obviously, Keyshawn Nixon was re-signed as the cornerback, the nickelback. But, you know, if you could add a guy like TJ Tampa on the outside, I just think for Jeff Hafley, a new defensive coordinator who wants aggressive, man, you know, physical, dependable cornerbacks, I think Tampa answers a lot of those questions. And I think he'd be thrilled to get him early on the second day. It's always a position to need. And if the Bears are adding another receiver tonight, we know what the Vikings and Lions have. We can't have too many corners in the NFC North. So I do think it's a position Green Bay will attack certainly before Saturday.
You wait all this time, and sometimes you get an offensive lineman. And if they hit, well, it works out well. If they don't, not so much. Two in the second, two in the third. Offensive tackle. Does it have to be an offensive tackle, or does it have to be a left tackle when you're kind of projecting what they're going to be?
No, I think they're going to take two linemen before Saturday, whether they have four, five, or six picks. As it stands now, they have five. Many inside the Green Bay organization believe that right tackle Zach Tom, who is turning into a Pro Bowl caliber right tackle, has like all-pro/Hall of Fame potential at center. And so Josh Myers is going to get maybe one more chance, the former second-round pick of Ohio State. He's kind of a weak link at center. He's inconsistent. If they see a right tackle in this draft, I could see them maybe not immediately, but looking down the road and having Tom as the center and this rookie as the right tackle. Left tackle certainly could be something they look at, too. Rashid Walker stepped in, the former seventh-rounder out of Penn State, and really held his own at left tackle last season. But if you can get a stud and make him your situational swing tackle, again, it's all about protecting Jordan Love. They've attacked the skill positions, but they lost three linemen in this offseason. They're going to revamp. They added Andre Dillard on a flyer last week, the former number one pick. But I think any position up front is up for grabs across the board. But I do think for sure they will add a tackle before Saturday.
When you mentioned you're on KFAN earlier, with, I'm guessing you're with PA, who does he think is the quarterback that the Vikings are getting? Has he zeroed in yet?
Yeah, actually, this was the Morning Show Power Trip's annual mock draft.
So okay.
I was actually picking for your Broncos and the Giants.
Oh, I'm anxious. I'm all ears.
Well, we couldn't make any trades, and I do think the best scenario for them is to move down like with Philly or Pittsburgh and take Bo Nix there. I am plugged into a reporter in Denver. He could see cornerback again. He could see tackle. Yeah. He could see edge. But I ultimately just said Sean Payton's going to bust through and say, I'm not getting any younger. Give me my quarterback wherever it is. I just think they may end up with Bo Nix. As far as PA goes, he truly believes that there is maybe, if he had to put money, I had $1,000 to spend, he said he'd spend $750 as long as it's plus money, on Drake May. That the Vikes go up to three with New England and get Drake May at number three. Barring that, maybe a move up to eight to take J.J. McCarthy. But you know, this is a crazy time up here in the Twin Cities with the Vikings. Options could be they haven't drafted a franchise quarterback, really, that's worked since Fran Tarkenton.
Jeez.
So they're so excited about the opportunities. And, you know, if they lose out on those top four guys, and again, I think if they end up taking like a cornerback at 11 and Michael Penix at 23, I think that's a home run night for the Vikings. But they're also sold on Mayor McCarthy that just the intrigue and the excitement up here is off the charts for that squad.
I bet it is. ZoneCoverage.com, ZoneCoverage.com. Dave Sinekin does not think Cooper DeJean will be there when the Green Bay Packers, should they stay at 25. Dave, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it, Dave Sinekin. Thank you.
You got it, guys. Talk to you later.
Yep, good to talk to you, Dave Sinekin. As we take a look at the Packers, let's get the Chiefs in here. ChiefsBlitz.com. He's Nick Gathen. The Chiefs will be picking 32nd this year. That's absolutely last. Next year, 21 is where they fall on the board, as they have a miserable year.
Will they? Or will they?
Wheels come off the ball for the Chiefs. This is a team that is in free fall. Wouldn't that be
nice? All right, I'll ask you a question. Ready?
Well, go ahead.
Who's the better coach at $18.5 million, Sean Payton or Andy Reid?
That would be...
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a lot of comebacks.
No, not that.
Now,
no.
You know how it feels for me over the last 30 years to have to talk to Packer fans?
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's not fun.
No,
it's not.
So the Chiefs are going to get
Yeah.
Ladd McConkey or somebody like that, aren't they?
It sounds like it. I don't think they're, outside of Joe Alt, I don't think there's a left tackle that they're in love with. There's a lot of rumors out there that they might move up and take the kid from Georgia, Mims. But I personally think they're going to have the pick of the litter at 32 at the wide receiver position, the worthy boys. And, you know, it looks like, to me, you know, Xavier Worthy is probably going to be, the Bills are probably going to nab him. I like Xavier Leggett for the Chiefs a lot. I think
that's a kid from South Carolina.
Yes,
that's your guy.
That's
Trent.
My dude.
Yeah.
He is. You know, Brett Feast talked a lot this week, more so than I thought he would, about, you know, whiffing on DK Metcalf, and this is the comparable.
Thank God.
And there are some character issues with this kid, and it's very, very similar. And right now he's projected mid to the end of the second round. So, you know, depending on what the Chiefs do, wheeling and dealing wise, I think there's only Joe Alt and Brock Bowers are the only reason they're going to move up.
Mm. I don't. They would take Brock Bowers as the heir apparent. I mean, obviously they'd have to move way up.
Yeah.
So does Kelsey? They think this might be his last year.
No, I think Kelsey's committed to playing two more years internally, from what I hear.
Right.
He'd like to break a few more records.
A few more.
He'd like to go for four Super Bowls in a row instead of three.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just all these things. I just don't think he's ready to give it up. So I think he's going to stay. But to me, you know, I would say go all in on Alt or Bowers. And I'm of the opinion that, hey, the Chiefs don't need much. They need a tackle out of this draft. They need another wide receiver or two. And get some depth along the offensive line. They're real high in Dominic Pooney, the guard tackle from the University of Kansas. He could be had in the third round. He could be a starter for them for 5 or 6 or 10 years. So Veach can be as aggressive as he wants to. The focus is three-peating, and that's it. And if it means selling next year's draft to move up to get an elite player that they think can put them over the top of what they really, really need, they're going to do it.
Well, I don't want to spoil this little dream you got going on, but perhaps you're not aware Zach Wilson is a Bronco.
I loved the comparisons that he could be as good as Patrick Mahomes. That tweet was legendary.
Who sent that out?
Someone of these pro football prognosticators.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have him in Kansas City. I'm going to be honest with you. I think he would have been a terrific addition for the Chiefs as a backup with Andy Reid, but... I think we're good with Carson Wentz right now.
Indeed. What do you got going on at Chiefs Blitz tonight? How are you guys covering this draft?
We are going live tonight and going live tomorrow night, live Saturday, and a recap
Holy
Saturday
mackerel.
Night.
Busy,
we're all in.
Busy weekend at ChiefsBlitz.com. ChiefsBlitz.com for our friend Nick Athan and coverage of the defending back-to-back Super Bowl champs.
Yes.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Doesn't suck. Pretty good.
Running back, would that be a spot later on when they're looking at a flyer? We know Pacheco is there, but is that maybe a depth piece that they're looking at as we come to the end of Edwards-Helaire?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's going to be a lot of guys available in the sixth and the seventh round. The Chiefs have the top pick in the seventh round, and I anticipate that's going to be a running back. You know, there's a lot of good kids out there right now, but at the end of the day, I think that the way the draft's going to shake out is I think they're going to get three offensive linemen, two wide receivers, a tight end and a running back. That's kind of how I think that's what they need to worry about right now. I think defensively they're set. They've already covered the loss of Snead with drafting Connor last year. They have McDuffie. I think they're going to be fine there, but they have no depth in a couple of positions that they need to start building upon.
ChiefsBlitz.com for Nick Athan. ChiefsBlitz.com. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it, brother.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you.
Probably Monday. Now. Yeah, we'll talk soon.
All right.
Thank you, bud. Take care.
You got it.
Nick Athan, as we take a look at the three of our regional teams, the Bears, the Packers, and the Kansas City Chiefs. PA chimed in with our syndicate chimed in. He thinks they're getting a quarterback. I think they are, too. Minnesota has to get a quarterback in this draft, don't you think?
It's taken so long, though. It's just weird. I just thought this would be done. When they went up and they got rid of Hunter,
right,
and they traded him to Houston, they get another. They have the ammunition.
I know. I'm surprised nothing has happened. It has to be the NFL that's saying, shut up, don't say anything.
And you continue to hear about Kraft's son is running this draft, and it's been an unmitigated disaster.
Oh, is that right? I didn't hear that. Is he really?
Yeah. There's been some ugly kind of behind-the-scenes quotes that have come out of that. Just New England. I know how much you hated them.
Oh, now they win all the time.
This ineptitude. Mm-hmm. And
it's great.
How quickly it falls apart.
How soon does it inflict Kansas City's roster?
You got a while.
Yeah, I know. This kid's young.
12, 15 years?
Probably so. Mm. Oh, boy. And Andy Reid resigns. He's not going anywhere. The Chiefs aren't going anywhere.
Nope.
They aren't. They absolutely aren't. We will come back, and we are going to take a stab at this draft. We want to try and get 5 teams correct. So that'll be, if we get 3 is where you're setting the over-under?
Yeah. Combine 3.
We'll see. We'll do that when we come back. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station. Before we do that, though, Trent, we've got the bonus bucks.
Yes,
almost forgot about that. It's $1,000 on the line right now. It's happy. Happy at KXNO.com. Happy. KXNO.com. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent's Plays of the Day coming up. Circus Sports sponsors those. Boy, baseball. There's like 10 games during the day today.
Get out of the way for the draft.
That's what they're doing, right?
Yes, absolutely. They are.
All right, Trent, we're going to try and do a little head-to-head here. Mm-hmm. With Caleb Williams is off the board, so of the remaining 31 teams, we can draft a player that we think is going to be a member of that team. By whatever, midnight tonight or whatever,
yes.
Right? So it's incredibly hard to do because once a trade happens, the whole thing goes to pot.
Mm-hmm.
I've never understood people that actually go through the exercise of trying to mock draft every round, every team. You know how difficult that must be?
It's just guesswork.
It's just guesswork.
Yeah.
So we're going to do our best guesses to who we think is going to be a member of what team, and we hope between the two of us that we'll get 3 of them right.
3 out of 10. That would be a
good
percentage.
Now, we might have some duplication. Or
that's
true. Right?
That would only count as 1.
Okay.
But 3 of 10, I mean, that could see the Hall of Fame.
It does. Absolutely does. Let's do it.
I'm going to take a free square. I believe Jane Daniels at number 2 to Washington.
And I agree with you.
All right. So we're both going to take Daniels.
Yep.
So we're kind of cutting it down here a little bit. So basically, we have 8 selections left here. My next one. I've been back and forth at times. I took a shot on Neighbors going to Arizona. I got him at better, I think, than 4-1 when I bet this a couple weeks back. But ultimately, I think it's going to be Harrison. Marvin Harrison Jr. to Arizona.
And we're on the same page again.
So we both have that one the same.
This is starting to be boring. I thought there'd be a little intrigue in this.
Because
I think I know where you're going next.
Is J.J. McCarthy on your list?
Yes, he is.
Is he going to Minnesota on your list?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Well, it's like that we talk to each other on the radio for 10 hours
maybe
a day.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
A lot of group things starting to happen here. So we're both on McCarthy.
Yep.
All right. We got the same. Do you have Michael Penix on your list?
No.
Okay. I do.
Raiders?
I do.
Yeah.
I think it makes a ton of sense.
It does. I agree.
I think that is one that you can see it, you can envision it, it makes sense for them organizationally, what they want to do, what the coaching staff wants to do. I just think it's not easy because this isn't an easy exercise, but give me Penix to LV.
I'll take Brock Bowers to the NY Jays. New York Jets. Aaron Rodgers gets his tight end, as I think the Jets go all in to try and build that roster for Aaron Rodgers' last year in the league.
So I got to take a shot here.
Okay.
I got to take a guy that you know I really like, Xavier Leggett, and trying to find a spot for him. Now, 32, that would make a whole lot of sense to Kansas City.
Is he there at 32?
Is he there at 32? In my scenario, I'm going to say no. There's a team that dealt with a malcontent at the wide receiver position. And Stephon Diggs.
Oh.
He's not getting his mail in Buffalo anymore.
Okay.
At 28, the Bills get Xavier Leggett.
I like it. That one makes some sense, Trent. Because I think they need a receiver. I'm with you there. Okay, that's good. I want to go back to the Bears because I think with their number 9 pick, I think they're taking the kid that was on the flight. O'Dunes.
Okay. Rome.
Yeah, I believe he is going to be a Chicago Bear, their second pick at number 9. So is that, have we...
We've gone through it all, yeah. We had three similar. Is there anything else, at least, that you had on your list? Maybe a,
oh, next to the Broncos.
And you think it's going to happen?
I do, unfortunately. I'm a Penix guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could see that. Joe Alt to the Tennessee Titans.
Yes, I think that's...
I think that's a done deal. I think Neighbors...
If there's no movement for anybody to go up and get Alt, I think that's about as close to a lock as you're going to find.
Again. I think Neighbors goes to the Giants. At six?
Mm-hmm. Buying that, yes. I like Neighbors a lot. I really do.
I think the Chargers trade out of five.
Gonna try. If they can't, what do they go? Are they just building the line and going what Harbaugh does?
Well, you know what I would do? What, I guess as a fan of another team in that division, I'm sure they want to get protection for Justin Herbert and build the line. I would take Bowers.
Yeah?
I think he's a... I mean, I don't know. You hear the comparisons that this is the best tight end since Gronk. You know, this the best in the game that this guy's going to be talked about in that in same sentences with those guys in the future. So at five, if Brock Bowers is there, don't you grab him for Justin Herbert?
Well, last time somebody took a tight end real high.
Who? Kyle Pitts went to Atlanta, but they didn't utilize him. I think that
they did not utilize him, or was it a swing and a miss?
Well, maybe.
An fair Uber point. Athlete?
Yeah, he is.
We've seen first-round tight ends that have gone up in flames.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that's Bowers. He seems like a physical specimen, but said the same about a lot of these guys, and it hasn't worked out.
Yeah.
All right, Packers. If DeJean's there, that's the pick, right?
Without a doubt. Is he there?
Is he there? So some
Vegas
spots.
Vegas says no.
Right. There's some spots that make a ton of sense. I think the earliest we'll see Cooper go is 16. I think that's
who's
about
that. Is that Eels?
That is Seattle.
Seattle, okay.
Seattle sits at 16 at this point. Okay. Now, they need both offensive line help and cornerback or two spots in the versatility. Jacksonville also would make a whole lot of sense for him at 17. That could be a possibility a little bit later on. Miami, the Eagles at 22. Those are some potential hiccups if you're a Packer fan out there and hoping that Cooper DeJean is wearing the green and yellow, the John Deere colors. Yuck.
12:45, we will take our last time out, come back. Trent's got some plays of the day. Those are coming up next. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. All right, welcome back. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Three NBA games, couple of NHL games, full slate of baseball, all but one day games today. What are you playing, Trent?
Little bit of everything. We made eked out a profit yesterday, went 5-5, had some plus money in there that helped get us over Mount 500. We have two afternoon baseball games, including one coming up here in a half hour as we make our way to the Ivy and Wrigley Field. Assad against Verlander, second start of the season for Verlander. He was pretty good last week.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to be very good this
afternoon.
You
think that the Cubs are going to sweep the Stros?
I got them plus 112 to make that happen here this afternoon. We continue. Pretty hot Seattle Mariners starting to figure it out
a little bit. Yep.
Young team. Love the staff. And I love Castillo, who's off to a slow start for his standard. Going up against Haney, I think they are the right side on this one. Minus 114 is what you have to lay with the Mariners this afternoon. 135 first pitch for that one down in Arlington. To the NBA. It's funny, Palma mentioned this just kind of in passing at the end.
What's that?
The unders in the Orlando-Cleveland series.
Orlando like an can't annuity? Score.
Yeah. A handicapper that I respect in the NBA that I listen to from time to time said that his playoff numbers, as he adjusts things in the playoffs, thinks this total should be 180.5.
It's 201.
201.5. We'll take the under of that one. Yes, please. Give me the under in the Magic and the Cavaliers. We know the Lakers, Nuggets game's going to be good. It's going to come down to the end, and the Nuggets are going to win. So give me the Nuggets, minus 105 on the money line in that one here this evening. I also led Palm down the path. Of the teams down 2-0, who could come back and win the series?
Tampa's the only one.
Can win, come back and win it.
Mm-hmm.
But a team...
I don't think they will, but they can.
A team, though, can come back and win in Game 3. And I think it's going to be a crazy one tonight for the Islanders.
Really?
Plus 140. Give me the Islanders. Home ice matters this evening. Islanders plus 140. Islanders, Nuggets, under in the Cavaliers and the Magic, Mariners and Cubs. Five picks for today.
All right, we shall see. grade your work tomorrow. You'll be off tomorrow, but we'll let the folks know how you did on your plays of the day. So the Bears take Caleb Williams and
Adunze. I think you got it.
Adunze, Washington. All right, enjoy the draft.
You too.
I know I will. I can't wait for it. I'm putting a puck on the back burner tonight and watching the
Get
NFL.
Over that Islanders game.
You think it's going to be? See, I think they got their heart broke. Anyways, yeah. We'll find out. Murph and Andy next, The Drive with Heather and Sean, 3 to 6. Talk to you tomorrow. Miller and Condon, weekdays 11 to 1, 106.3 KXNO.